school trying to be a hero, and he ended up just completely being embarrassed by what he tried to do, what he tried to be. He thought he was being a hero with his little stick, swinging it around, videotaping himself. Someone got a hold of the tape, and he ended up being the laughingstock of his school. And he will always be remembered by everyone that knows him as the guy in the Star Wars video. He actually had to transfer schools to another town because of that, because he was completely labeled with that one identity of being the kid that was in that video. And the question that I posed to you last week that I want to really talk to you about today is a question I want you to ask yourself this. You don't have to ask yourself out loud. The question is, what will I be remembered for when I leave junior high? If junior high, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade was all you had, what would you be remembered for? I told you what I was remembered for was this. My 7th grade play, you can put up the next slide here. I dressed up as a woman named Miggs, and I was an English chambermaid. I spoke a little bit like Mr. Lusk. Spoke. I had an accent. I was dusting. I had the full get up to dress like a woman. I wore pantyhose. Support on that had socks in it. I had the whole thing going on when I was this English chambermaid, and I was the president of our school's student body. When I was in eighth grade, I was the president of the student council. Every week, we would do an assembly, or not every week, but every time we do an assembly, there'd be a guy that would come out at the beginning of the assembly, and he'd have his little drum, his little band guys, and he'd go, and he'd do a drum roll, and these other guys would carry out flags, and they'd set up. Then I would walk out in front of the whole school, about 400 people. I would walk out in front of the whole school, I'd walk up to a microphone, and I would say, "Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance." And then everyone would stand up, put their hand over their heart, and I would say, "I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all." And I would do that every week. I was in a position of potential influence in my school. But you know what I was more known for? Not taking advantage of my opportunity for leadership, but I was more known for things like, one time after I did the Pledge of Allegiance, I was walking off the stage, and the principal comes up afterwards, and I go, "And now your principal, Earl Sears." And then Earl Sears would come up, and everybody would clap. And Earl and I had this deal where he would come up the stairs right when I was starting to introduce him, and we'd walk, and we'd stop, and we'd shake hands, and we'd like turn and face everybody, and there was always like a photographer for the yearbook, and they'd take a picture of us shaking hands, and we'd always have that in the yearbook. That was kind of our deal. And one time I was going, and everybody was clapping, and I went to shake hands with Earl, and and Earl just walked right by me. And so I'm standing up there in front of the whole school going, and Earl just walked on by. And so what I did was I made a joke out of it, and I said something like, I can't remember what I said, but I said something funny and derogatory towards Earl. I won't tell you what I said, but he always walked on his toes, and I said something about being light on his loafers, but I was remembered in junior high for entertaining my peers, not for influencing my peers. So go to this next slide, and I said this. I said when I was in junior high, I entertained my peers and never influenced them at all. I would change that. I would say when I was in junior high, I entertained my peers a lot and influenced them a little, maybe a little, but it was much more I was focused on entertaining my peers. What are you focused on with your peers? Do you just focus on surviving junior high? Do you focus on hiding through junior high? You know, do you focus on avoiding your peers? Do you hate your peers? Do you idolize your peers? Are you pressured by your peers? Or do you influence your peers? I just entertained them. Some of you guys drift along with them, but I want you guys to ask yourselves the question, what role do I play with my peers? What will I be remembered for when I finish junior high? And I'm going to make a case for you that the Bible says that all of us, anyone that's a believer, that's a Christian, that's a follower of Jesus Christ, that has a relationship with God, how many of you guys would say that you'd classify yourself as that type of person this morning? A person that's a Christian. Raise your hand. Raise it up high. If you're a Christian, don't be ashamed in here. This is a Christian church. All right. Now keep them up. Keep them up. Everybody up high. Keep it up. Look around. See who sees you, who you're seeing. Everybody be seen, see and be seen. Okay, you can put them down now. Hold up your hand if you have a pen in your hand. Very good. Girls, I'm not going to give any points because this is a serious part, but every week you guys come in here, I hand you out this little piece of paper. It's an outline. It's got blanks on it. If you don't have a pen in your hand, you can't fill it out. If you don't fill it out, you're not missing much, but it helps me to write stuff down. It helps me remember it. If I was in here, I would write everything down, and on my way out the door, I would throw it away. Okay? That's just what I would do. I'm fine with that. I don't expect you guys to have a little binder that you open up and you punch holes in and you're like, I'm saving every outline. I don't expect you to take them and pin them up on your wall at your house and you've got a whole wall covered with outlines. You're just like, David says the best things. And you look at it. But just if you jot it down, it helps you remember it. That's what I do. And I would also flip it over on the back and I would doodle a lot. That's just what I would do. You're free to do that. But I give you those things so you can remember what I'm going to say, because what I'm about to say is straight from the Bible, and you guys need to hear it. Those of you that raised your hand, if you're a Christian, your function in this world, the role that you are called to play, is not to be an entertainer or an avoider or a peer pressurer or just someone that drifts along. Your function, you are called to be, your purpose is to be an influencer. The function of believers in this world is influence. And there's a little passage that if I don't explain it to you this morning in the Bible, it won't make much sense to you. So I'm going to flash this passage up on the screen, and I'm going to spend about 10 minutes just really unpacking it for you. This is in Matthew 5:13. This is a little chunk out of the longest sermon that Jesus ever gave. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus, God's Son, guy that died on the cross, before he died on the cross, is hanging out with his buddies. People gather around him, and he starts teaching them. And he says this to people who want to follow him, people like you and me. And he says to them, hey guys, you are the salt, okay, of the earth. But if a salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Okay, what does that mean? We're going to talk about that in a second. He says, hey, it's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. And most of us today would sit back in that first paragraph and go, what does that mean? I'm salt. And what's salt loses its saltiness? I don't ever open my salt and it's not salty. It's always salty. I've never had non-salty salt. Salt's always been salty. It's salt. It's salty. That's what you're saying in your head right now. If not, you're probably saying, this is boring. When's it going to be over? But Jesus says, you're the salt of the earth. That doesn't make much sense to us now, but back then, salt was the second most valuable resource that they had. You know what the first one was? The sun. They considered the sun the most valuable thing they had access to, and salt was the second most valuable. Have you ever heard the saying, oh, he's not worth his salt? You ever heard that? No. Then you don't listen, because people say it all the time, every day. No, I'm just kidding. That was a saying that people say. They used to pay people instead of money, like I offered Jarvis earlier. You missed out on a 10, bro. You missed out on the 10 spot. Instead of paying with money, they would pay each other with salt. You would earn a wage in salt. Salt was that valuable to them because salt is a very versatile mineral. You can use it for many different things, and we're going to talk about all the things they use it for in a second. I understand that this doesn't make sense to you today, and I'm going to explain it to you. Now, something that does make sense to you today is the next half of it. You are the light of the world. Has anybody ever held a flashlight before? No, you've never held a flashlight before? Have you ever had the power go out of your house at night? It's really handy to have one of these. Otherwise, you're doing like I did last night in my house when the lights were off, and I stubbed my toe, and it wasn't my big toe. It was like one of the middle ones. It hurts really bad, and I'm sitting there trying not to say a bad word, even though I'm the only one at home. I'm like, oh, fiddlesticks, and running around my house yelling. But if you don't have one of these, you're not going to know where you're going. You guys understand light. Every day you walk in somewhere, you turn on the lights. You flip them on. When we watch a video, we turn off these lights so we can watch the fun lights on the screen, and we know all about light. And so Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. If you've ever taken a road trip or you've ever driven anywhere at night, you can see the city coming. You can see the glow of the city. And he says, neither do people, they don't light a lamp and put it under a bowl. It would be pointless if I took this flashlight and the power was out of my house and it was midnight and then I put it under a bowl, or I put my hand over the front of it and was like, where am I going? it wouldn't be any good like that. And he says, no, you put a lamp on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, Jesus explains this one to him a little bit better. It makes sense to you guys. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You guys, hey, let's have a flashlight war. She's got one too. Okay, that was dumb. You guys are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And I'm going to tell you 8 things that that means. And so if you got your outline, write down these 8 things. If not, just listen, or you can look back and listen to this on the internet later. Here we go. We're going to crank through these really fast. What's the first thing salt does? This is real easy. You guys know this one. Salt adds flavor. We were just putting salt on French fries. We talked about McDonald's French fries. They're some of my favorite. I don't think they're very good for you, but I like them because they're covered in salt. Ever been to the Burger House? Now that's some seasoned salt right there. That adds flavor. Burger Street, Burger House. Listen, guys, salt adds flavor to everything. When we go to On the Border, one of my favorite places to get fajitas, what's the first thing we do when we sit down with our chips and salsa? You ask them on the table, do you mind if I salt it? Don't mind if you do. Let's dump it on there. You put the salt on the chips and you eat it up. What does this mean for us? You are the salt of the world. Christians should add flavor to everything they do. Listen, I'm teaching you at church. You guys should be the most fun people in your schools. Let me say that again. Christians should be the most fun people to be around at your school. You should be the most enjoyable folks. You should laugh the hardest, laugh the most, enjoy each other's company more than anybody. Salt adds flavor, and you're to add flavor to this world. Are people going to want to come to God if you guys are just lame, boring, hiding out, keep to yourselves people? No. People want to be around fun people. Salt adds flavor. Salt controls infection but stings like crazy. You see, back then they didn't have Neosporin and all the medicines they have. If someone had a wound, have you ever heard the saying, it's like pouring salt in the wound? Maybe you've heard that. If someone had a wound, they would pour salt in it. And it would sting and it would hurt, but it would control the infection. It would keep that wound from getting infected, okay? Now, what does this mean for us as Christians? Christians should be the person that people run to when they're hurting. Are you that person? If something happens in your life and you're hurting, let's say a family member dies, or let's say you get a terrible grade, or your parents are on your case, who do you call? Who do you go talk to? Who do you turn to? You don't have to say it out loud. But you should be the person that everyone, even people you don't know that well, but that everyone should know that you are a caring, kind, gentle person. You'll tell them the truth even if it stings. Don't you like it when someone tells you the truth even when it stings? Hey, you have bad breath. Thank you. I'll take a mint. If you didn't tell me I had bad breath, I wouldn't know it. But that you'd be the person that people, when they're hurting, when they have a need for healing, they would come to you. That's what Christians should be if you're the salt of the world. Salt preserves, okay? They would take salt and they'd pack their meat with salt and they put salt in it and it would preserve their meat because they didn't have refrigerators and freezers like we have. So to make their meat last longer, they would put salt all over it and wrap it up. Now, we don't know much about that today because we don't do that much, but salt would preserve what was important to them, what they needed. Guys, Christians should preserve the goodness of this earth. And if you see people that are doing good things, we should be the most encouraging people in the world. So Christians should add flavor. You should be the most fun people in the world. Christians should control infection by being the people that people want to come to when they're hurt. Christians should preserve our culture by encouraging people when they do good. If you see someone do something noble, good, courageous, brave, friendly, kind, you ought to go and tell them. You ought to write them a note. When's the last time you pointed out a good quality in someone else and encouraged them? You should be an encourager. Salt creates thirst. Have you ever, eaten those chips and salsa on the border and your waiter hasn't come and taken your drink order yet, or they haven't brought your drinks yet and you are just dying of thirst? Yeah? And you got the hot salsa too. But salt makes you more thirsty. You know, if you just played a really long soccer game or basketball game and you came in, you wouldn't want to eat French fries first. You'd want something to drink. And then you could eat French fries. But salt makes you thirsty. People should see your life. I could tell you why later, but I'm not going to waste time doing that now. People should see your life, and they should be thirsty for something more that you have that they don't have. Do you make people thirsty for God because of the way you live and act? The salt of the earth does that. Salt adds flavor. It controls infection. It preserves. It creates thirst. And listen to this. He said, what good is salt if it becomes unsalty? Salt doesn't ever become unsalty. Salt only loses its flavor if it gets contaminated by something else. Is your life contaminated by anything from the world? This salt would only become unsalty if I mixed a bunch of dirt and junk and poison into it. It'll always be salty by itself. Is your life pure and undefiled and uncontaminated by the things of the world? What kind of music are you guys listening to, putting in your head? What kind of shows are you watching? What kind of movies are you going to? What kind of stuff are you downloading? What kind of conversations are you having? What kind of websites are you looking at? Salt only loses its flavor if it gets contaminated. Light exposes the truth. Light would have shown me that that shoe is there. The truth is there. If you're the light of the world, you tell people the truth. You expose the truth. What's the truth? That we're all sinners. And that we are destined to a life filled with death without Jesus Christ. Light points the way to go. And light only loses its power if it's hidden. If you were one of those people that raised your hand at the beginning of this message and said, I'm a Christian, let me just ask you this. Does everybody that knows you in this life know that about you? I bet for a lot of you the answer is yes. I bet for some of you the answer is no. Because you take your light that you have, the light of life that is Jesus Christ, and you hide it. And you're ashamed of it. You go, well, I'll be a Christian when I'm around these people, but when I'm around these people, I don't think so. I don't think I'm going to point these people to the truth and point to them the way to go. I'm going to hide it. And light loses its power if it's hidden. If I take this flashlight and I put a big black wool sock over it and try to find my way around my house, it's not going to help if I hide it. You guys are the light of the world. Guess what? Jesus is not walking around your school. But you guys are. I'm not walking around your school. Your leader's not walking around your school or on your teams or at the mall, wherever you are. But you guys are. And this is so important for you guys to get, is that your function in this world as Christians is to be influential. And don't for a second think that that's something you want to save for later. That's something you need to do right now. You're in junior high, 6th, 7th, 8th grade. Don't waste these years, guys. Don't look back and go, when I was in junior high, I avoided my peers, and I never influenced them. Don't look back and go, when I was in junior high, I just went with the flow with my peers, and I never influenced them. Jesus is saying to you, you are salt of the earth and the light of the world. You should add flavor where you are. People who are hurting should run to you. You should encourage goodness that you see. People should be thirsty about the way you live. They should want to know more about the God that you serve. You should stay pure and uncontaminated. You should be able to expose the truth and point people on the way to go to find it. And you should never hide the light that you have in God. Now, that's just who you should be and how what it means to be salt and light. And I'm going to tell you how you can really do this in your schools. All right, let's go to the next slide. First thing you got to do is this. Hopefully you did this in your small groups last week. You look for the lost. We've got something on our website. Your leaders can show you where to find it. They should have given them to you at small group last week. There are these things called 3 for 3 cards, where you think of 3 people that you know that don't know Christ, or that maybe act like they do, or say they do, but never ever act like it. And you begin to pray for them. You make sure that they know that you are a Christian, and you invite them to come to things at our church to expose them to the light of Jesus Christ. You look for the lost. That's the first thing you do. Are you aware of anybody else around you besides you and just your friends in your school? Look for the lost. The second thing is this. This is what you're going to do in your small group this week, is you're going to be yourself. See, we don't all have to fit this mold of the same person that, you know, talks to people about God. Everybody has their own style, and we're really going to cover 6 styles of influence in your small group this week, and I'm going to let your small group leaders take that, but you're going to get a quiz that you're going to take. Don't miss small group this week. If you miss it all, don't miss it this week. You're going to take a quiz, a questionnaire, and it's going to tell you what your influence style is. Okay, you don't have to be the most popular kid in school to be influential. There's a lot of different styles, and there's one that fits you. And once you know what that is, you can know how to act a little bit different. And lastly, this is what we're going to talk about next week, is that you can learn how to start spiritual conversations with your friends, how to share your story about how God touched your life with your friends, and how to actually lead somebody to a relationship with Jesus Christ. That seems scary to some of y'all, but we're going to talk about it next week. How do you lead somebody to trust Christ as their Savior? And I'm just going to pour it on you and how you can do that. And it's going to be really fun next week. You guys, you're Christians, your role in this world, your function as a believer is influence. If you're not taking advantage of it, why don't you guys decide today to start trying? One way you can do that, this is the last thing I'm going to say and we're done. One way you can do that is you can invite your friends to the Progressive Riot. You can invite them here. But the Progressive Riot is something that not many people your age are going to turn down. It's a really fun event. But also, at that event, I'm going to talk to them about the gospel, and I'm going to tell them about Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell them about how they can know God. So if you have friends that might not have heard that or might not live that out, an easy thing to do is to say, hey, come with me, hang out at this awesome overnight party. We're going to have tons of fun together. Why don't you just come? That's one way you can begin. It's a first step if you want to be someone that says, I'm going to be a person of influence. Invite them to come to that. Let me pray. Dear God, I pray that I would be the salt of the earth and that I would be the light of the world. It is pointless for me to stand up in front of these students and tell them what they're supposed to be if I'm not being all these things myself. And God, I thank you for the opportunities that I've had to be salt and light in people's lives, and I pray for more of them. And I pray that I wouldn't pass them up and hide the light that you've given me, that I would put it out on a stand. I pray that I would remember what it means to be salt and to be that. I pray that the leaders in this room would be salt and light in their workplaces and in their community, and that they would have stories of how you've used them as salt and light in the lives of their coworkers and their peers and friends and family. And that those stories would encourage these students. And I pray that these students would be convicted by your word and that they would know that your son, Jesus, was calling them to be salt in their schools and light in their schools. And I pray that every student in this room would take advantage of the opportunity that is before them to be salt and light by inviting their friends to come to Progressive Riot. And God, I just pray that your gospel would go out and it would change people's lives at the Progressive Riot this year. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.